じゃあ今日は、創世記6章を少し読みます。創世記6章、はい、で今日はまあ少しずつ進みますね。今日はそんなに遠くまで行かないので、6章の最初の方だけ見ます。はい、ノアの話進んでます。 OK、 じゃあ創世記6章1から。さて、人が地上に増え始め、彼らに娘たちが生まれた時、神の子らは人の娘たちがいかにも美しいものを見て、その中から好きなものを選んで自分たちの妻とした。そこで主は、私の霊は永久には人のうちにとどまらないであろう。それは人が肉に過ぎない彼ら。それで人の弱いは120年にしようと仰せられた。神の子らが人の娘たちのところに入り、彼らに子供ができた頃、またその後にもネフィリムが地上にいた。彼らは昔の勇士であり、名のある者たちであった。主は地上に人の悪が壮大し、その心に計ることがみんないつも悪いことだけに傾くのをご覧になった。それで主は地上に人を作ったことを悔やみ、心を痛められた。そして主は仰せられた。私が創造した人を地の表で消し去ろう。人をはじめ家畜や葉物、それの鳥に至るまで、私は彼らを作ったことを残念に思うからだ。しかしノアは主の心にかなっていた。はい、じゃあこの終わりの時代とこの時代、ノアの時とこの時はよく似ています。同じ原則が当てはまるから、その時代はどんな時代か、人はどんな状態かをまあよく学ぶが良い。で、私たちはどんな時代に生きているかをさらに深く理解できるようになります。で、この洪水の前の世界、地球の状態はあんまり詳しくわからない。しかしその地球はの姿とかよりも、その地球の破壊が随分いっぱい書かれている。最初は、まあ、神様の創造に対してに関していろいろ書いてますけど、でもまあ、山が どれだけあるかとか、どんな地形があったかとかはあんまり分からないですけど、この地球が滅ぼされた洪水によって追われた話は詳しいことがいっぱい入っています。だからこの地上で神様に反抗するものは結局どんなものかは関係ない。なぜならそのものは裁かれる、滅びるだけです。私たちの人生ではどれだけ達成した、どれだけ勉強した、どれだけ起こしたかとかは永遠では全く関係ない。神様が私たちの中でなさったことだけが重要ですので、早ければ早くほど神様の御心をつかんでその通りに行えばいい。しかしこの箇所がの始めでは、さて、人が地上に増え始めと書いています。まあ、そのノアの時代に人が地上に増え始めたということです。まあ、ノアは600歳ぐらいで の時に洪水が来ました。ですけど、まあ多分その時代ノアが生まれた頃ぐらいから人口が急に増えたんじゃないですか。面白いところは1820年ぐらいに地球に10億人が生きていたけど、今は80億人がいるそうです。で、もうずっと歴史、まあ、洪水の時からその線が少しずつ少しずつ、もう本当にあまり変わらないぐらいですけど、ちょっとだけ上がってきたけど、でも1820年ぐらいからはもう急に上がってきた。まあちょっと見せるためにまあ一つのなんかグラフがありますけど、その、グラフをちょっとスカイプに一回載せます。で、それをちょっと見てほしい。そのチャートを見たらよくわかると思います。ちょっと今、載せます。それを見た方が、よくわかる。どれだけ人が増えたか。で、それがどんなに短い間で増えたかを、見たら、やっぱりノアの時代とこの時代はよく似ているということがわかります。はい。じゃあ、ちょっと載せますね。はい。はい、リンクを載せます。はい。見ますか？今見ているのは、地球の人口で、まあ、それを見ると0年から1800年ぐらいまではまあそんなに変わってないけど、もう急に上がります。で、1960年からもうほぼまっすぐ上がって、今はまあ80億人ですでしょうか、8 billion people がいます。で、まあそのノアの終わりの時代もそうだった。人が突然増えてきた。で、この時代も人が突然増えてきた。で、人が増えてきたことに従って罪も増えてくる。で、罪と病気、自然破壊と、まあ、災害による、害とか破壊も、増えるでしょう。昔ね、大きな地震があっても、その地方にあんまり人がいなかったら、別になんとも思わなかったけど、今は人口が大きいから、たくさんの人が、亡くなっている。人の苦しみも増えています。人が増えることに従って、罪と神様の裁きもまあ増えるものです。だから何でもかんでも終わりの日に突然大変になるでしょう。あと私たちが福音を伝える責任が増えるでしょう。もうこんな時代にたくさんの人がいるから、本当にまあ他の人を無視するような時代ではありません。しかしノアの時代では人がたくさん信じたわけではない、うん、ノアは、白船を、作って多くの人に証ししましたけど、でもそれに応答した人がいると書いてない。はい、大変な時代です。この人口が増えることです。まあちょっとさらに考えたら、 神様は最初人が増えるように命じました。地上に増やそうと言いました。で、創世記の最初にはそれは神様の御心だった。増えること自体は悪いことではありません。ですけど、何でも増えれば増えるほど危険がありますイエス様は5つのパンと2匹の魚を増やした。で、たくさんの人を食べさせたけど、その後でどうなってでしょう。その大勢の人たちはイエス様を王としました。神様の御心に反してもう完全にもう離れていた。で、イエス様はその時点で逃げて弟子たちと一緒に船に乗って早く出ていた。なぜならその人たちはイエス様の奉仕を妨げるようになります。で、後でイエス様はあなたたちはもう奇跡を見たからじゃなくてパンを食べたから私に従ってきている。で、ヨハネ6章ではイエス様は大変な真実を伝えた時に多くの人は離れていってしまった。やっぱり人が増えると人間の欲が増える、噂が増える、罪が増える。危ないです。何でも増えることによって危なくなります。で、エゼキエル見てください。エゼキエル35章、エゼキエル35章、これはエドムに対する予言ですけど、ここに書いているのは13節、お前たちは私に向かって高慢な言葉を入ったが、私はそれを聞いている。で、どんどん言葉が出てくる。彼らは多くの高慢のことを神様に対して言っています。この時代は本当に神様を常に暴言することになっています。昔はその冒涜する言葉は少なかったけど、今は全世界にテレビとかインターネットを通して神様の御心じゃなくて人間の価値ばっかり伝えられている。で、私たちは本当に気づかない。それはどれだけひどいか。テレビはもう私たちは神様を嫌いますとか、そのはっきり言わないけど、でもその番組の中で世的な価値観、豊かな暮らしは一番とか、健康が一番とか、全ての人がそれぞれの道を見出したら一番いいとか、そういうふうに完全に神様は私たちが神様に仕えるために人間を創造したという事実を無視して、神様の計画を無視して、神様の価値観、神様の立法を無視して、もう神様をこの地上から消し去ろうとしています。人が増えるから、言葉が増えるから、結局罪が増える。箴言も同じようなことが書いています。箴言の、10章、19節見てください。箴言10章19節こう書いています。はい、言葉は数が多いところには背きの罪がつきもの、自分の唇を制するものは医療がある。はい、もう言葉をいっぱい喋ると必ずそれは罪に至ります。言葉数が多いところには背きの罪がつきもの。はい、で、逆に自分の唇を制するものは医療があると書いてます。はい、やっぱり増やすことがいいわけではないお金もそうです。 聖書の中の例を見ると、ソロモンは金黄金を増やした、自分の力を表す馬を増やしました。自分の楽しむために、子供がいっぱい作れるように、自分の力をしっかり保てるように、たくさんの妻たちを増やした。それによって彼の心は神様から離れていきました。だから終わりの日に私たちに対する大きな誘惑は、大きいがいい、多いがいい、増えるがいい、成長するがいい。でも実は私たちは反対に少なく方がいい、小さい方がいい、いっぱいやろうとすることよりも神様の御心だけをするのが良いということ。これはもう非常に難しい。この時代にあらゆることはできるし、周りの人はあらゆることをやっているから、比べてみて、まあ私もそれやりたい、あれやりたいとか言うから、そんな時代に住んでいます。はい。でも私たちは気をつけなければならない。増える時代は神様から離れる時代です。はい。使徒働き一章六節、何章だった、ちょっと待って、間違えました。ここで使徒働き十章から、待ってください。使徒働き6章か。はい、6章。ごめんの、つか間違ってた。はい、使徒働き6章。で、一節からちょっと読みます。その頃、弟子たちが増えるにつれて、ギリシャ語を使うユダヤ人たちが、ヘブライ語を使うユダヤ人たちに対して、苦情を申し立てた。彼らのうちのヤモメたちが、毎日の、配給で、名を、ざりにされていたからである。そこで十二使徒は弟子たちを全員のを呼び集めてこう言った。私たちが神の言葉を後回しにして食卓のことに使えるのはよくありません。そこで兄弟たち、あなた方の中から御霊と知恵とに満ちた評判の良い人たちを7人を選びなさい。私たちはその人たちをそこの仕事に当てらせることにします。そして私たちはもっぱら祈りと言葉の奉仕に、励むことにします。でそうしました。で7節にちょっと飛んで、こうして神の言葉はますます広まっていき、エルサレムで弟子たちの数が非常に増えていった。そして多くの祭司たちが次々に、信仰に入った。はい。ここでやっぱり増えることの危険がまた出てくる。教会の中でも人が増えると、その党派心が出てくる。我々はこう、あの人たちはこう思っているとか、これは不平等とか。もう小さな集まりだったらそんなことはないですけど、でもやっぱり人が増えると、そういう噂とか悪口とかは始まるものです。でここで弟子たちはじゃあ何をしてそれに敵対した。まずは彼らは自分の奉仕を強調しました。神様は私たちそれぞれに何か導いている、 もうそれをしっかり持ってそれに妨げるものを廃棄した。だからよく管理していた自分の方針で、まあそのこともあるから、あの他の人はそれに強調してあの奉仕すればいい。で、私たちはその問題があるとかその出来事があるから導かれていることをやめて違うことをするわけではないから、あのもう神様の、神様に与えられているこの小さな奉仕をちゃんとやるという態度です。ノアはその時代に何をしていたでしょう。人が急に増えたらニュースも増えるでしょ。ノアはあらゆるニュースをあの見ていたでしょうか。ニュースも増える、あの災害が増える、あの病気が増える、文化が増える、技術が増えるですけど、人が増えるですけど、私たちは目の数とか手の数とか耳の数とか、あの一日の時間数の数は増えません。それは変わらない。だから、あの人が少なくても多くても私たちにはこの両手ができることしかできない、この目で見ることしか見えない、あの太陽の光っている時間は変わりませんので、あの人が多いからといってあの変わるわけではない。私たちは神様に導かれているその仕事をやらなければならない。ノアは白船を作りました。それだけです。それは彼に対して正しいです。だから一番この時代にもうあらゆることがありますね。毎日新聞を見て、中国はこう、ロシアはこう、トルコはこう、もういろいろなニュースがありますけど、はい、わかりました、別に私には関係ないです。あの神様に導かれていることに強調することが良い、そういう態度を持って、で後で非常に多くの人が増えたけど、それが問題ではなかった。ちゃんと私たちはちゃんと自分の奉仕をしっかりあのやれば、あの人が増えてもそれ、その悪い影響が私たちに及ぶはずはない、はい、ではあの次のところに行きます。 OK, so thank you. Let's look then. We're going to look at the first thing today. Today will be a fairly short message, soWe'll just have probably two parts here. The first one is we're going to look at Genesis 6 and just read a small section of it. Okay, just continuing with the story of Noah. All right, so it says here, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful and they married any of them they chose.Then the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went into the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. Well, remember, basically, that anything we read about Noah applies directly to today, because spiritually we're living in the same kind of generation. The generation of Noah was the last days. A big, terrible judgment was coming, and most people didn't know it. Noah knew it, and he was preparing himself, and he was a preacher of righteousness, he was a witness, but no one listened to his witness. And so it will be in the last days that we know a big judgment is coming, but no one listens to us. But we still have to be that witness, and we still have to give that witness and do the work that God has created us to do. How can we live in the last days? We can be like Noah. So when we look at Noah and the last days, we see that they're very similar. And the first verse here in chapter 6 explains very clearly what this last day's world was like. It says, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth. Now, I just put a link on Skype, so you probably can see it if you have a look there. Just look how quickly the human race has expanded in number. Just look at that graph there. The human population from 1 AD to projected to 2050 AD. It's unbelievable. Look at how it hardly changed, you know, by modern standards from about the year 50 until about 1700 or 1600. And then suddenly when you get to about the year 1800, it just jumps and it just skyrockets. Like, it's an amazing, I mean, you can make a graph look however you want it to look, of course, but this is, you know, this is very telling that it's only the last few generations. You know, my great grandparents were born in the 1800s, and maybe yours were as well. That was the time when the population started to jump up like this. You know, when my grandmother was born, you know, you were still down almost around 1 billion. And then now, just in two or three lifetimes, it's jumped up to, you know, it's jumped up like to, and now it's about 8 billion. It's just immense growth. And so what happens in the last days is like what happens in Noah's day. In Noah's day, the human population suddenly began to increase on the earth just before the flood. Now, you might say, well, that's a natural thing. You know, it's like the domino effect, you know, or it's an exponential growth. And yeah, I'm sure it probably is. That's probably true. But anyway, regardless of how you explain it, this is what happened in his day, and this is what's happening in our day. So as we see, as people begin to multiply on the face of the earth, flagrant sin and rebellion against God skyrockets at the same rate. Jesus said, in the last days, there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences. Now, you could say, well, even if the number of great earthquakes didn't change, just the fact that there are millions and billions more people in the world today means that the significance of those earthquakes are going to change. You know, if an earthquake happened in a place that nobody lived, it wouldn't really bother anyone. But when you've got millions of people living there, many people die, and it destroys homes and jobs. Just in the last earthquake, you know, a friend of mine, his aunt died in Turkey from a heart attack in the middle of the earthquake. And the others, who we also know them, their parents are now living in a tent and living in a car because their houses were destroyed. It's just terrible, the amount of damage. And that's just one family. What about all of the tens of thousands of others? The amount of damage that is occurring because the human population is increased so much is huge. Disease, you know, diseases are going to kill so many more because there are so many more to kill. it's probably just a purely natural thing. But it's the reality of what happens in a world that is fallen. It's just like a human life, you know, when you live until, you know, you get to a certain age, and then suddenly, you know, you get all these diseases and all these problems, and cancers just appear and whatever. You know, suddenly we get old and die in a very short period of time. And so this is what's happening in the world before the flood. So the principle is this: the world before the flood, what kind of a world is it? It's a world where wickedness increases suddenly. It's a world where the human population increases suddenly. It's a world where sin increases suddenly, and the thoughts of people's hearts are only evil continually. You think about the internet, how now that we have all the people in the world and we've got the technology and the manpower to set up these worldwide networks and systems that we've got, then the evil thoughts of mankind are spread even more quickly through the world. everyone's bad influence affects everybody else like a disease. Now, if a healthy person walks into a room, his health doesn't affect the other people. But if a sick person walks into a room, his sickness will affect the other people. And so it is with righteousness, and so it is with sin. If we are in a society, our sin will affect other people much more than our righteousness will affect other people, just naturally. Of course, by the grace of God, he can undo that, and he can work it the other way. But that takes the cooperation of us. We have to allow him to work through us. And so many people don't do that. They're saved by grace through faith, but you know how little they actually let God do his works in their life. Ezekiel says that when words, they magnified their words against God, talking about Edom, in that last days of Edom. They magnified their words against him. Today, the whole world is magnifying their words against God. They're multiplying their words against God. How many TV shows, they won't say we are Antichrist, or they won't say we hate God, but the message that they preach is Antichrist, and the message is God-hating. You know, it sounds nice, and yet at the same time, they're saying there is no God. God didn't create this world. God has no say in what goes on in this world. You know, the Bible is certainly no way to judge what is right and wrong. The best thing in life is just do what you want, enjoy your life, and don't say that anything is right or wrong. Basically, that's what TV is preaching, and it's preaching rebellion, and people are so used to it, they don't even realize it now. The media is in the control of the devil. Ephesians 2 says that, you know, we once walked according to the lusts of our flesh, and we were under the prince of the power of the air, you know, the spirit, the Antichrist spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. The air, the media, the newspapers, the rumors, the news, everything is controlled by the devil. And he is spreading his wickedness so rapidly now. When things grow, they become dangerous, right? A small tree is not a danger, but a big tree, if it falls down, can destroy a house. Jesus multiplied bread and fish. So God can multiply things to be a blessing, but what happened immediately after that? He had to run away from that group because they were going to make him king by force. They were going to try to physically stop Jesus from fulfilling the calling that God had given him to do, the great calling of salvation. That herd mentality would have just done away with it and tried to do as Satan tried to do, make Jesus king then and there. That would have annulled his eternal calling and our salvation. So he escaped. And later he rebuked some of those people that he said, you didn't come because you saw the miracles. You came for the food. You came for the bread that you ate. And he tried to teach them that, you know, it's not about eating and drinking and things like this and multiplying what we have. The more we have, the more dangerous it is. This is a reality that we have to face in the last days. The last days is a day of growth. Growth in numbers of people, growth in sin, growth in rebellion, growth in technology, growth in disease, growth in natural disasters, growth in news, growth in culture and art and literature. Everything is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But as things get bigger, they become very dangerous. Solomon fell away from God because he multiplied wives. He multiplied horses, which were illustrating his strength, and he multiplied gold. He was told not to do those things. He multiplied everything he possibly could, and it ended up leading him into idolatry. In Acts chapter 6, let's have a look at Acts 6, in verses, I think it's about 1 to 7. Let's have a look at it. Acts 6, 1 to 7. We see this principle. Says here, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, etc. Go to 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and large numbers of priests became obedient to the faith. Notice what happens here. When the number of people, even in the church, increases, trouble increases. Okay, whenever you have many people, you have many troubles. So even in the church, we've got this division. Now, if a person's body is divided, we say that person should get to hospital as quickly as possible. if there's a broken bone, or, you know, a cut off finger or something like that, you've got to get immediate attention. And so when the number of people increased, you had a division in the body of Christ. That's a very serious thing. And the disciples here very wisely dealt with it quickly. They said, "Hey, we are not going to allow this trouble to take us away from the small, focused ministry that God has called us to do." And because they did that, they were able to wisely appoint other people to deal with that, and they continued with prayer and the word of God because that was their ministry. And then the people increased and it was not a problem. So that teaches us about the last days. This is what we are to do. In this generation, there's so much news. There's so many things going on. There are so many ministries. There are so many disasters. We cannot possibly deal with all of this information. You know, all these other things are increasing, but the number of eyes we have, the number of hands we have, the number of hours in the day, the number of, you know, the amount of energy we have, that doesn't increase at all. You can't increase, you know, the number of ears you have. You can't deal with more information than, you know, your two ears can process. And so we have to do what they did and just say, all right, I'm not going to think that I need to know all of this other stuff. I'm just going to focus on the thing that God has called me to do. Now, you might have to appoint someone. You might have to try to find someone else to deal with it. But you can't deal with it. You've got to do what God called you to do. What is God calling you to do? Do that. Make sure you do it well. Make sure you do it properly. And don't be taken in by all the other people around you who try to pull you this way and that way. Yes, there might be a big earthquake in Japan and people throughout, you know, the Nankai Trough, you know, area, or, you know, down on the coast, we might have great, you know, calamities in Japan. What does that mean? Well, it basically means that there will be an earthquake in Japan. Many things will happen. But Christians have got to do the ministry God called them to do. Some people will be called to go and help. Others will not be. Others will be called to continue doing the ministry that they're doing. And that's the same. What if China takes over Japan? You know, well, we just continue on in the new situation, but we do the ministry God's called us to do. We've got to really get this right, because otherwise we get distracted and try to get involved in things that God's not calling us to do. In the last days, when things increase, sins increase. Rebellion increases. Noah just built a boat. That's all he did. He just built a boat. He didn't go around the world and try to join political parties and stop, you know, the Nephilim. He didn't do any of those things. He just built a boat. All it says that he did is he was faithful in building this boat, and in doing so he was a testimony of what God actually wants man to do, that he wants us to do his will. Okay, so let's take one more point here. Hey, じゃあもう一つのポイントを見ましょう。じゃあ、あの、今日はそのネフィリムのことは、何も言わないですので、前何回もそれを見たことありますので、あの、今日はその 聖霊について話します。この次のポイントで、はい、じゃあ3節、創世記6章3節、そこで主は、私の霊は永久には人のうちにとどまらないであろうと書いています。それは人が肉に過ぎない体、それで人の、弱いは120年にしようと仰せられた。じゃあ神様は聖霊を与えています。でその聖霊は人にのうちに永久にとど、まらないと書いてますけど、そのとどまらないという言葉はディーンという言葉です。ディーン、でディーンという言葉は部族ダンと同じ言葉です。直接関係ある。ダンは砂漠という意味。砂漠。砂漠しきいる、治めるという意味です。もう一つみんな知ってる言葉関係あるのは、アドニ、アドニ。そのドン、ドン、アドニは主という言葉です。ヤハウェの名前は主と呼ばれていますけど、でも、普通の字と書いた時にそれはアドニ、主、主は治めるもの、主は裁きつかさ、主は権利を持っている人、そういう意味です。治める、裁くということ。神様は、私の聖霊は永久に人を裁かない、人を治めない、人をリードしない、人に守らない、人を守らない、人に制限を与えない。なぜなら、彼はもう肉に過ぎない。彼らはもう霊的な道を捨てて、肉の欲を選んだから、それ、もっぱらそれ、歩いているから、歩んでいるから、ので神様はもういいです神様は治めるものですけど、神様の、治めることにしたのもとに来ない人は神様は治めない。その人たちを裁きます。そういう意味です。神様は人にいくらでも助けます。私たちが失敗した時にしつけします、教えます、丁寧に考え直させます、悔い改めらせます。神様は私たちの前に制限をつけますので、罪を続けられないように、恵みにあってつまずきの石とかを置いたり、問題を与えたり、またこの世の人口の罪の流れが増えないように、土手みたいなものを、常に置いていますけど、永久にそれはしません。神様はとにかく人の弱いは120年、つまりおそらくその時から120年の間で全てを裁くという意味だろう。ノアは大体100年間ぐらいかけて白船を作りましたので、多分その神様の決意の時から洪水が来たのはその時代、その年数だと思います。その神様の裁きとかは、じゃあ他に出てくる箇所をちょっと比べましょう。まずはダンというものが生まれた時です。同じ言葉ですから、創世記36節、はい、ラケルの女奴隷ビルハはまた身ごもってヤコブに すみません、間違った。6節。そこでラケルは、神は私をかばってくださり、私の声を聞き入れて、私に男の子を賜った。と言った。それゆえ、その子をダンと名付けた。はい。このダンという言葉は、かばってくださったということ。神様は私のディレンマを見て入ってきて、解決を与えてくださいました。しかし、神様は永久に従ってない人の問題を解決しません。ということです。神様は、もう制限がある。神様の恵みは深いけど、制限はあります。次、出てくるときは、49章、見てください。49章、16節。同じ創世記で49-16。はい。じゃあ、16節読むと、ダンは己の民を裁くであろう。イスラエルの他の部族のように。で、17節。ダンは、道の傍らの蛇、小道のほとりのマムシとなって、馬の格闘を噛む。それゆえ乗る者は後ろに落ちる。非常に興味深い予言ですけど、でもダンは自分の民を治める、ダンは自分の民を治めるべきでした。しかし結局ダン族は自分の罪を結局治めなかった。その中で一番有名な人はサムソン。サムソンは自分の欲を制御できなかったから結局裁かれた。本当は彼はイスラエルを裁くものだったけど、彼は目が見えなくて裁かれるようになりました。私たちは神様の身元で自分を制御すべきです。で、自分を制御できる人は他の人を正しく治めることができます。しかし自分の欲を制御できない人は他の人を治めることができません。神様は永久に人をそういうふうに私たちの失敗をいつまでも直すわけではありません。本当に悔い改めている人は本当に永遠にそうします。ですけど、全然悔い改める気がない人はもう制限がある。その人たちから離れる。だから終わりの日はどうなるかというと、神様の聖霊はいつも人を引き寄せようとしている。罪定めようとしている。人たち社会を守ろうとしていますけど、でも終わりの日にもうやめます。どうなるでしょう。もう罪は罪でないことになります。そういうふうに今は全世界に、例えば同性愛の問題が出てきている。もう前は当たり前と思っていたことはもうわけわからなくなってきた。昔は結婚を存じていたけど、今はもう全然その概念を知らない。なんででしょう。それは神様は人をもう治めてないから。私たちを正しい道に従わせてないから。これからもどんどん増えると思います。人はなかなか福音の意味を聞いても分からなくなってくる。そういう時代になります。終わりの日に多くの人が信じることよりも、多分もうある時点からもうほとんど誰も信じられないようになります。ノアの時代はそうでした。ノアとその家族しか救われなかった。終わりの日も同じです。神様は人を想像したことを悔い改めた。悔しいと思ってたという意味です。神様は、いや失敗したという あのことを思ったではなくて、その悔い改めたという言葉はまたノアの名前と同じ言葉で、先週に話したようにナハム、あの、まあ、憐れみということ、神様は、まあ、憐れむ人は苦しんでいる人の苦しみを自ら感じ、一緒に感じるということ、彼らのところに行って彼らの負担を一緒に担うというあのものです。それは憐れ、あの慰めることです。しかしあの神様はそういうふうに私たちの罪深さを自分で感じていた。本当に私たちは罪を犯すときに神様はどれだけ苦しんでいるかを私たちはあまり考えてないですけど、特にあのもうあの何、平然に嘘をついたり、あの罪を犯しているときに神様は本当にそれをあの、まあ、神様の心は痛ませている。だからあの、私たちはそれを考えなければならない。あのでも神様はもうこれ以上はもう我慢しない。あの人をなんか汚れたもののようにあの吹き去る、地上から吹き去る。私たちの人生の中に悪いものがある。で本当に私たちは悔い改めするなら、悔い改めをするなら、同じようにそのものを滅ぼすしかないです。神様はなんで人を滅ぼした？人は罪深いものになって、人は罪を人生であの抱いていたから、その罪とその罪を起こしているもの、犯しているものを一緒に滅ぼした。じゃあ私たちも同じです。私たちはあの罪とその罪のきっかけを一緒に滅ぼさなければならない。じゃあなんで動物とかを殺した？動物は人のために創造されたから。人のために創造されたものは、じゃあ人がいなくなったら動物もいるはずはないので、それは一緒に滅ぼされた。じゃあ私たちの罪を支えているものも滅ぼさなければならない。罪をあの犯させるものは何でしょう？自分の人生の中であの自分の誘惑は何でしょうまあそれを滅ぼす、またそのきっかけとなることを滅ぼす、それを支えているものをもう滅ぼすことによって、私たちは神様の正しい裁きをしますので、あのまあそれぞれの人生で考えてみてください。あの神様のように自分の体から罪深いものと関係あるものをもう消し去りましょう。それは正しい悔い改めですけど、悔い改めと言いながら同じものを愛することと同じ罪を常に繰り返すこと、それは悔い改めではありません。それは遊んでいる本音じゃないです。本当の悔い改めはその悪いものを滅ぼします。だからあのヨシュアはアカンと彼のものを全部あの石投げして、イスラエルからあのもう打ち消しました。私たちもそうすべきです。終わりの日に遊ぶことができない、これはもうあの深刻なことです。この世の罪と一緒にあの、洪水で溺れたくない。例えばあの洪水の時に自分が多くの重いもの、お金とかを持っている場合はもう離して行きましょう浮きましょう。あの そのものはもういらない、あなたを沈ませるから。今はあの罪のきっかけを捨てましょう、で神様に従いましょう。まあ簡単には言えますけど、実行するのも難しい。まあよく祈って正直に神様に祈って、それはどんなものかをよく考えて 行動しましょう。はい、じゃあ、so second point, the Spirit of God. Now we've talked a lot about the Nephilim before, we won't go into that today, but let's look at verse 3. My Spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Okay, so then it goes on in verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe out from the face of the earth the human race I have made, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. Or the King James says, uses the word repent. It repenteth me that I have made them. What can we learn from this? First of all, God's Spirit will not strive, this translation says to contend. The Japanese translation gives a word that means abide in the heart of man forever. But actually the word, if we look it up in Hebrew, is din. And the word din means judge. So contend is a pretty good translation. It actually means to judge or to rule. My Spirit will not judge or rule with man forever, because he's indeed flesh. We choose to walk a fleshly life rather than a spiritual life, then God's Spirit will no longer continue to be the master over us. He will just let us go on to our sin and be destroyed. That's what it means. The word din, is very closely related to the word dan. It means to judge. Remember Dan? He's the tribe of Dan means he will judge his people. It's also what makes up the word Adoni, the dun of Adoni or Adonai, meaning Lord. A Lord is a one who rules over other people, or the one who judges is Lord. And so that's what this word means. I won't be Lord to people forever. I'm not going to fix their problems forever. I'm not going to be the great leader who, you know, goes out of his way to protect his people forever. I'm not going to make righteous laws to keep us all safe forever. If you don't want to live in my peaceful world, then don't. If you don't want to walk in my rule, then don't, because I'm not going to strive with people who don't want to be in my kingdom forever. Like a teacher who, you know, eventually if a kid just doesn't want to study, they kick them out of the class if they could, because they're only disrupting it. So that's what God says. I'm not going to rule them forever. We are supposed to rule our own spirits. Let's look at when this word appears in a couple of places just to see the significance here. Look at Genesis chapter 30 and verse 6. Genesis 36. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me, or judged me. That's the word judged. And has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. Now, vindicated. What is Rachel talking about? Rachel had this big fight with her sister, you know, about who was going to be the favorite wife and all that. And, you know, it was a petty argument, really. But God had compassion on them in their little petty argument and came in and vindicated Rachel because, you know, she was losing to Leah, the older sister. And God came in and was merciful to them in their little silly fight. Basically, that's what it is, you know. It's like the teacher who has to step in and sort out the fight between two little kids in elementary school. Remember what Jesus said to the guy when he said, hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And he said, who appointed me a ruler and a judge over you? Who made me the judge to judge that? Like, God, he doesn't want to just forever enter into our little fights. But he does, because he's so merciful. He does fix up. He does, you know, help us despite our incessant sin. He does do these things because he's good and he's loving and he's far more merciful than we are. But he won't do it forever. If people don't want to live under his rule, he's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy forever. He's not going to give us, you know, the discipline forever if we just don't have any interest in it. Now, of course, if we're his children and we, you know, we
continually walking in his ways, but we fall here and we fall there, and we might even fall with the same thing. He does do it forever because he's merciful. But when it comes to the people who choose not to walk in his ways, then he says, it's finished, guys. I'm out of here. And that's why when the last days happens, things just get so bad so quickly, because God is not striving with man anymore. He's not convicting them of sin anymore. Why is it that suddenly, just in a short time, homosexuality and LGBT have just become rampant worldwide? Why is that? Why these things, you know, were very rare in, you know, the centuries previously, and yet now, boom, they just increased worldwide. Why? Because God's Spirit is not striving with man forever. And he's no longer convicting people of what they should know. He's no longer convicting them of many sins. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. This is just the beginning. it's going to get terrible on from here. You know, I've said before, you know, look at how it was in the time of the early church with the Colosseum and the, you know, feeding, you know, having gladiators fighting each other to the death and people choosing whether he should live or die and these brutal things that they did. I think the world in the last days will probably get to that level again. I think we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get so bad, and perhaps the internet and other things will allow this to happen. I don't know. But the reason it will get bad is because God will no longer be putting a barrier to people's evil. The thoughts of our heart will be only evil continually, and we'll just be able to do whatever we want. So God is going to stop. Now, Dan, remember Dan? He is to judge his people. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rule ourselves. But if you don't rule yourself, then God will no longer rule us. God rules those who rule themselves. We're supposed to rule over our body and soul and spirit under God. But if we don't do that, then we soon are not ruled by God either, in the sense of his loving rule. We're only judged. Samson was the great example from the tribe of Dan. He couldn't rule his own lust, and so he finally fell under the judgment, even though he was supposed to be a judge. And that's the way it is in the last days. The world, and that's the way it was with Dan, the tribe. They were the first tribe to be taken by the Assyrians because they fell into idolatry first and they wouldn't control themselves. And so they were taken away. So God says, what does he mean when he says he regrets that he'd made the man? Does he mean he made a mistake? I mean, the King James uses the word repent. Does he actually repent and wish he'd never made man? What does it mean? Well, the word there actually is the same word we were looking at last week. It's nacham. It's the word for consolation, or the pleasant savor that, you know, God smelled when Noah did the sacrifice. Noah or Noach is the word nacham. It's the same word. It's Noah's name. It's another play on words, a pun. Because Noah is the one that has God's feeling in the last days. Noah, like Lot, was stressed and felt terrible living in a sinful world, just like Lot felt the burden of living in Sodom every day, seeing the sin. He hated it in the end. And that is the same with God. Why does God regret and repent and all of this? What does it mean? It means he nachams. In other words, he feels the sinfulness that we are in. He feels the pain that we put ourselves through. He feels the horror of our sin, probably much more than we do. You know, we don't want to think about it, but God actually feels the terror of it. And so when we sin against him in our, you know, in our rebellious ways, when we refuse to do what we know is right, God feels that pain, and we should think about that too. We should feel the pain of hurting God by our sin, because he feels the pain when we sin. That's what he did. He he came down and he looked around and he felt the terrible situation and he said, right, that's it, it's finished. I'm giving them 120 years. Even then he gave them grace, but he gave them 120 years. And he decided to destroy and judge man and beast. Why did he destroy a beast? Why did he have to kill all the animals? Well, I guess he had his reasons, and maybe one of them was like we talked about before, about the going back under the ocean. But beasts were made for men. Animals were made for humans. And so humans had become utterly sinful. They had made themselves sin. Therefore, if sin is to be removed, humans are to be removed. And the things that support the humans are to be removed as well. And this is the pattern for us in our life. We must remove sin from our life. How do we do that? By removing the things which have become utterly sinful from our life. A hobby might have started out right, but it becomes so intertwined with sin that we've got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of the things that are not only sin, but the things that support sin, the opportunities that support sin, the situations that support sin. We've got to get rid of them from our lives. You know what they are. You know, or if you think and pray, you'll realize what are the things that are causing you to commit sin, and you will make war with those and say, I'm going to destroy them like a soldier. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to shoot them all until there's none left. That's going into the land of Canaan and driving out these people and not leaving a single one. That's what Joshua did with Achan when he sinned in Jericho. He got rid of him and all of his stuff. Everything was destroyed, so as not to allow this sin to grow anymore. That's what we will do. If we really repent, as it says, God repented that he'd made the world. If we really have that feeling of repentance, then we will do what God did. We will destroy sin from our life. And that is something you've got to work out with fear and trembling, how you're going to do that, and ask the Spirit of God to help you destroy sin. Remember when they destroyed the cities in Canaan, they needed God's plan for everyone. And they couldn't just rush in and think they could do it anyway. They had to do it with God's plan. It's not easy. The enemies are great. You know, the sons of Anak are there. The Nephilim are there as well in those days. We've got to drive them out, but we've got to do it wisely with God's wisdom. So this is what repentance is. It's destroying. God said, look, man has become totally sinful. I'm going to destroy man and everything that supports them from this world and just leave the faithful and what supports the faithful. And that's all that was needed. We'll look again at Noah. Let's pray. Tenatosama, kansha shimasu. Doka kamisama, ano kono owari no jidai ni hito ga fuetari, mono ga fuetari, tomi ga fuetari, ano tsumi ga fueru. で、あの私たちの信仰は本当に攻撃される時代になりますけど、どうか私たちを試して守ってください、救ってください。あのはい、神様、ぜひあの私たちはあなたの聖霊に導かれる、収められるようにあの、憐れんでください。またあのどうかあなたの身元で自分の体、自分の家族、自分の人生を収めれるようにその力と知恵を与えてください。また私たちの心にある罪悪のもの、邪悪のものをあの滅ぼせるようにあなたの導きと戦略をあのください。自分の、知恵じゃなくて本当に神様の知恵によってその、戦いを挑めるように助けてください。感謝します。イエス様の御名によって祈ります。アメン。